produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings. My name is Matsie Mukwena, coming from South Africa. The name of the program is called The Voice of God, Lentswe la Modimo, and we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network USA and World. And this program is produced by Mercedes Godu. Today I will be talking about being still and knowing that He is God. Now I will be reading from the book of Psalms 46, starting from verse 10. It's a well-known scripture, and it's always good to encourage and remember that we need to be still and trust in the Lord. Now I'm going to read Psalms 46, starting from verse 10. Ere hake bala, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now we live in a very busy world. But in this business, God wants us to be still so that we can be able to allow peace and love to guide us in this busy world. Now the Bible often speaks of meditating on His word. Now, the reason that we always need to meditate upon His word, lebaka ke hore, it helps us to be still. It is the word loring you fadijo tse tlaring di du thuse semoyeng. That is why we need to be still, and it also helps us to renew our minds and align it to His word. We need to remember that when you are still in His presence, you are surrendering your life to Him and saying, Lord, I let it all go and put it before You. Now, as Christians, we need to be still. That simply means you need to be at peace. You need to hush. You need to let go. It simply means that you need to stop worrying. You need to stop having fear. We need to remember, Hore, there is a God who is in heaven, and this God, He is our refuge and He is our strength. He is our very present help in times of trouble. This scripture, it helps us to reflect and to look upon the Lord. There are many things that we can try so that we can be able to become to be still, but nothing can work better than being still in His presence. Nothing can give us peace than dwelling in His presence and knowing that there is a great God. Now, to be still, it means that when there is any type of war, it simply means that you need to stop and be still and let go. I'm going to read the book of Exodus 14, Kebala, from verse 13, Ereha Kebala. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. There are things that God always helps us, and He takes us out of things. He will rescue you from a situation, but He says you need to be still. Stand still. Do not be afraid, because I am the Lord who's going to take you out of it. That we need to remember that only God has the power to remove and to take you through those things. Another version it says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you. He says, I am doing this for you. And he says, I am doing this today. Now, we all go through things in life. And when all the noise is gone, there is only God left. Now, he allows us so that when the noise is done, then he comes in to say, I am the Lord who is going to accomplish this for you. God wants to talk to us. But the problem is that we live in a world that is so busy that we are not available in his presence. We are not available to study his word. We are not available to do anything. That is why it is difficult to be still at times, because of the things that are surrounding us, because of the noise, we are not able to remove. When we are free from the outside noise, we are able to hear him. Mudimu and God's Spirit, it comes to comfort us. The Holy Spirit is there to strengthen, to guide us. But we need to be still and know that he is God. I'm going to read from the book of Romans 12. Kebala from verse 2. Erha kebala. And do not be confirmed. Do not be conformed into this world. Because this world is a busy world. Because this world does not have time to listen to the word of God. But he says, you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will learn to know God's will for your life, which is good, which is pleasing and perfect. He says, this is important. I don't want you to copy what they are doing in this world. But because you are different, you need to renew your minds. Renew your minds. When your mind is renewed, then you are able to know that I am God. You are able to know my will in a mind that is of Christ. The Bible is very clear that we cannot do as the world is doing or the world does things. The world is busy for God, but we need to be still. We need to wait. We need to be at a quiet place and know that God's intentions for our lives, they are good thoughts. And he has a perfect plan for our lives. And the plan is for us to glorify him. Isaiah or Hakebala, in the book of Isaiah 30, reading from verse 15, it says, in quietness and confidence is your strength. He says, there is a strength that comes from quietness and confidence. All we need to remember is that we need to be still and know that the Lord is our refuge and strength. We need to rest upon him and let go of things that we have no power of changing or controlling, because God is in control. Let us trust in the Lord. Hara motsepe ngobane yena wa tshepahala. Yena qalole ho fela wa dintho wa tshepahala. All we must do is to know that he is God. Now, out of the quietness of being in God's presence, out of being still, power is generated, and it allows you and it allows us to be strong and find strength in His word. We find strength in Him because He is the and our refuge. When we spend time in His word, when we are at peace and being in His dwelling place, that is when we are praying and saying, God, we need you. And when we begin to pray, when we begin to spend time and be still in His presence, then we will feel empowered by His word. Hakimala, as I study the word of God, the disciples, they lived with Jesus. They went wherever He went. But there were certain occasions, there were certain events where Christ had to be alone, where He had to be still and be with the Father. I'm going to read from the book of Mark, reading verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and He left the house and He went to an isolated place. Now, the Bible is very clear. When somebody goes to an isolated place, he's simply meaning, I do not want any noise around me. I do not want anybody to disturb me. I need to be alone and pray. Quiet moments are important. Quiet times with the Lord are crucial for our well-being. Prayer is our quiet place with God, and we need to learn to be still in His presence. We need to meditate on God's word. Quiet moments in prayer, they bring us closer to God. That is why He says, be still and know that I am God. Because when you know, that means you are going to trust that there is a God in this situation. There is a God in my life. There is a God in my troubled times. But all you need to do is to be still. Now, when we are still, we allow God to direct our path. Being still, it allows us to hear the voice of God. When it is too noisy, how nadilirata, you cannot hear the voice, because noise, it will disturb you from hearing His word. Because the word of God, it is there to guide us. And it leads us to function perfectly under the will of God. Hakibala Isaiah, the book of Isaiah 32, verse 17, it says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. There are things that bring quietness. There are things that bring peace. And those things, he mentions them in the book of Isaiah 32. Now, in being quiet, we learn to depend on God. In being quiet, we learn to find strength in God. In being quiet, we learn to know that God is our Lord. In being quiet, we remain in our faith. We are able to stand still and hold on to God. And we begin to understand His perfect will for our lives. It is good to completely trust in God. It is not in the noise that we grow spiritually, but it is when we are quiet before the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, let us learn to trust in Him. Let us learn to come to Him, because He's still the same God. He is still on the throne. Let us not lose heart, but be still and know that He is God. Jesus was a very busy man. I know it's a busy world, but he was also very busy. He was busy healing. He was busy traveling. He was busy teaching and preaching the word. But he took time regularly to be alone with his Father. Doesn't matter how busy we are in this busy world. Making time, it helps us to be strong and find strength in him. We also need to stop and reflect and say, Lord, in this quiet time before you, search me. Teach me. Help me to understand what I need to know from your word. Now, what is important is that when we take time to be in his presence, we get to know him and him alone. We need to stop doing things. When we invite God, he is able to calm the storm in our lives. Only God is able to do things that no man can do. He is God, our refuge. Now we live in a world, Ebuang, and it talks about 24 hours and 7 days in a week. Everything is around. You need to go. You need to go this, go that, go do this. Everything is about go, go, go. But Jesus, he made time to go into an isolated place. Maybe the question is, where are you going? Because you can go to any kind of place, but you also need to remember that as Jesus went into an isolated place, you also need to go and be with the Father and pray. Now, Job 37, Hake Bala, verse 14, Iri. Listen to this, Job. Stand still. It means stop and consider God's wonders. That simply means that. Job, you need to be still and know that I am God. It means that you need to be still. When the Bible says you need to consider, it speaks of you need to reflect, you need to examine, you need to think about this thing, you need to review this thing that God is a good God. They were saying, just consider what God has done. He continues to say in the rest of that chapter, chapter 37, it says, consider what the Lord has done in the heavens and in all the world. He says, consider what he also does in men. He says, in what he has created, consider the Lord. Now he tells him to calm down. He says, be still, Job. Consider the wonderful works, wondrous works in all his creation, in his plans, in his purpose. And he says, look at what God is doing. Look at what God has done in your life. Remain calm and know that he is still the same God. As I read in the book of Numbers 9, Ketai Bala from verse 8, and Moses said to them, I believe he was saying to the people, stand still that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. He's saying, I'm a leader, but I don't like what I'm seeing. But you need to be still so that I can be in a quiet space to hear what the Lord will say concerning you. Moses needed a quiet place. He needed to be still so that it will be easy for him to hear God's instruction. We cannot hear God when we are distracted by other things. When we are distracted by stress, we cannot hear God. When we are distracted by worry, when we are distracted by friends, by family members, you need to be still and be quiet in the Lord and be able to hear his instructions. the best place, the best time, the best environment to hear God is when you are still in His presence. That is why being still is the good environment for you to hear God. John, I will read the book of John 14, verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you. And he says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, I give to you. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, I'm not giving you this peace that the world is giving you. He says, my kind of peace is different. It is the peace that will not let your heart be troubled. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Because my peace, it's not like what the world gives you. When we are still, it helps us to be in a right attitude. Your attitude, it changes. It becomes channeled. It becomes preoccupied with being dependent on God. It becomes preoccupied with completely leaning on God. And that is why being still, it becomes your strength. Hobane Modimo is able to say, my child is here. My child trusts me. My child, what is it that you want me to do? Then you are able to take instructions like Moses was able to take the instructions when he was quiet to hear God. I pray that the Lord may help us to see, be still, and know that He is God. This is Matsia Mukwena, and that's all we have for today. Till we meet again, we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network USA, and this program is produced by Mercedes Kodu. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Well, glorious greetings to you again in the name of Jesus. This is the glorious day that the Lord has made for you and I to be glad in and rejoice in the Lord. This is the glorious day, and I'm greeting you all the way from South Africa. My name is Benjamin Kutsuani, and this is your Finding My Way Radio, bringing you the program Destined for Glory. Yes, Destined for Glory. And we thank God that the Father has appointed that in Christ Jesus, those who have come to know Him, those that have been justified, the Bible says, He yet glorified. And so we thank God that there is a reason to be alive at this moment. And if you were listening in and finding no reason and no strength to even hope about this situation and seasons we are living in, we are here to declare to you that it's not over yet. There is hope in Christ Jesus. There is a promise of eternity in Christ Jesus. And there is a promise of the glory of God for your life and my life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we greet you and believe that God has been keeping you for such a time as this. Remember, the reason why we are here, even through the airwaves of the radio, it is so that we proclaim that which can never, ever be removed. What is this? It is the word of God, even as Jesus Christ himself declared. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall abide forever. So what we come to you with right now is that which you can lay your life on. You can allow your life to be anchored on. For when your life is anchored on the word of God, it is anchored on the foundation and the rock that can never, ever be destroyed and be moved. So we welcome you to our program today, and we proclaim the blessing of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit upon your life. We speak the breakthrough of your spirit, your soul, soul, your body, your character, your material, and your relations in the name of Jesus. We bless you with the word that the Father has declared that I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And we pray that the word of God will bring the prosperity of your soul, so that as your soul prospers, so shall the standard be lifted up for every area of your life. That's what the word means in First John 3. It says, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health. That's 3 John 2. And as you receive that, you're lifting up the standard by allowing your soul to be prospered by the word of God, by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And as your soul prospers, receive it, my friend, by faith, that everything else about your life will prosper. And you may ask today, what is the word that the Lord is adding for us? We are here in the construction for this season that we are living in. For we believe this is that season that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 8. He said, when you see all these things, the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the shakings, all the things that are happening right now, they have already been foretold by Jesus Christ, even by the Spirit of God, that these things shall happen. These things shall be. But in verse 8 of Matthew 24, then he says, when you see these things, know that these are the beginnings of sorrows. The end is not yet. These are the beginnings of sorrows. It's like God is saying to us, if you and I can still be witnessing these things, if you and I can still be receiving some report about the things that are happening throughout the world, the wars and the rumors of wars, the men rising up against men, the earthquakes and the shakings, he says, as long as we can hear these things, there is still hope for us, because it says to us, these are contractions. These are the beginning of sorrows. And what are these sorrows? These sorrows means the contractions, the pains of birthing, which means that which heaven has conceived, therefore, is being birthed and is getting ready to manifest all that Father God had intended in Christ Jesus for us. And therefore, we are here to connect that with you today. And as you see all these things, you might be asking yourself, how do we stand? And here is the contraction we are hearing. In the midst of the beginning of sorrows, the contraction we are hearing is this. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In the word of 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy, and he warns him about the entanglements of the world. He warns him about the things that are destroying in this world. He warns him about the things that are destructing and consuming the hearts of many unto destruction. And the highlight of that, of God, he is supposed to be the love of money, of which he said to him, the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money, let's get it right. He says the love of money is the root of all evil. And he says, when many allowed the riches of the world to corrupt their hearts, they pierced their lives with arrows that led unto death. And therefore, the message comes through in Paul's counsel to Timothy for us in this season now. And this message is in verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. What does he say? He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto also you are called. And he says, and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, fight the good fight of faith. And my people, I'm here to say to you, this is the hour, this is the season where your faith and my faith is being tested in this season. But it has to find us, if you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, this testings of the season have to find you already under the divine charge and the divine command, as the Spirit of God brought through the Apostle Paul to young Timothy. And he said, fight the good fight of faith. Now, I want you to lock and allow your spirit and your whole being to lock into this command of fight. When when it says fight the good fight of faith, Paul is writing to Timothy and the generation of Timothy, and even unto our time, he's writing to them when they were a people coming out of the background history of fights, as we know in the Old Testament records. We know that there were fights all over. The children of Israel had to engage in fights with all the enemy nations. And we know that those fights were fierce fights. They were bloody wars. And yet, the Apostle Paul is led by the Spirit of God to speak from this ankle and say, now, fight the good fight of faith. I believe the Holy Spirit chose this to show young Timothy and his generation that the call of faith is as severe as the fight that you've read about in the Torah. You may have read about the four wars in the Torah, and now that you know that the work is finished on the cross of Calvary, there can be a temptation of thinking that the grace of God means that you just rest, you just lay back because he said, I will give you rest. No, his rest is a command. His rest is attained by committing to the charge called fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Know that. Fight the good fight of faith, which means if it is the fight of faith, it has to be the good fight of faith. And he's using this expression to say, inasmuch as you've learned about the war, inasmuch as you've learned about the fight, inasmuch as you've seen nations, enemy nations destroyed, get ready. Arm and gird up your soul and your spirit with the charge of the Spirit that is saying to you, fight, fight the good fight of faith. Now, you might be saying, but fighting, it could not mean that. I want to say this to you. Remember young David, when David had to ultimately face up to Goliath, he had to go through the final testing of his faith before Goliath. We know that he was tested by being left out in the field with the little sheep, as the brothers referred to, but it was his father's sheep. He never looked at it as the little sheep. He recognized it as his father's sheep, and he took care of it and became a shepherd. And when he went through that faith and came and found the army of Israel intimidated by the giant Goliath, remember that his brothers and the colleagues of the brothers who were still trembling at who Goliath was, they mocked at David. So his faith had to pierce through the mockery of those that thought they know. I can say this to you, my friend, if your faith is on God, if your faith is steadfast on God, if your faith has known to bring down some lions and some bears when no man was watching, your faith will help you resist and stand against the mockery of those that think they know what is going on. Because even though the brother of David mocked at him and said to him, you do not know what you're doing here. You just are here because you are full of curiosity of sorts. And as they mocked at him in that way, David has to pierce through by faith beyond them. And ultimately, as we know, he came face to face with Goliath. I want you to understand the Holy Spirit call of fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. And then we will go further to understand what is the reward of this. But let's look at the fighting. And as he was fight coming before Goliath, he literally exposed that he is ready to fight the good fight of faith. By his words to Goliath, he says to him, you come to me with all your spears and all your armory that you are coming with. He says, but I come to you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel. What was he saying? You are coming to me with things that can be seen with the eyes. You are coming to me with things that can intimidate the eyes, the hearing. Even your loud voice is mocking over the armies of Israel. You think I can be moved by what I see? No, I am not moved by what I see. I am moved by faith. My faith is in the God of the armies of Israel. Yes, Yes, my beloved, David was standing with the same word of 2 Corinthians 5:7, where the word of God says, for we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And he stood before something that was intimidating to the eye, something that was intimidating even to the feelings, because the Bible says the army of Israel was trembling at this. But David stood up and began to engage the fight of faith. And he says, I do not come to you with anything that can be seen with the eye, but I'm coming to you by faith in the God of the armies of Israel. And note, my beloved, after God granted him grace, favor, anointing, and the mercy to stand before this enemy, he killed the enemy with a stone. And remember, after Goliath fell down, the Bible records that David took the very sword of Goliath and chopped off his head. And I want you to go through this, that God is putting in the new covenant and saying, fight the good fight of faith. And I believe the analogy of David, the experience of David, brings it to reality to us that this is not just a flimsy, spooky, spiritistic kind of imagination. No, this is the reality. God is saying, engage your faith in reality. If you put your faith in the God of the armies of Israel, let's say now today, in the God of David, because David excelled beyond even the armies of Israel. If you put your faith in the God of David, if I put my faith in the God of David, then I will be able to execute the judgment of God upon the enemies of God and upon the enemies of the truth and upon the enemies of the righteousness of God. And as he stood over Goliath, the Bible says he cut off his head. I normally find myself imagining this, that as he was cutting off this head, it was not a clean, nice cutting like in a hospital. No, it was a severe, gross kind of cutting with the blood spurting all over. And after he cut off the last membrane and ligament that held Goliath's head to his body, I always imagined young David, a teenage boy, lifting up that head and standing up with it and holding it in his hand, moving towards the armies of Israel. I can even see them stumbling and shifting and making way and an aisle of honor for him so that he can go through to Saul and present the trophy of what he has done in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, in which he had faith, and brings to him now the victory of fighting the good fight of faith. Oh, hallelujah. I pray to God that God will give you strength today, that you will prevail against false mercy in this world, the intimidating problem of our time, which is the time, which is the knowledge that is blinding the minds of many. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, that there is a God of this world who blinds the minds of those that do not believe, that they may not receive the light of the gospel. But thanks be to God that by his grace, you and I are saved. By his grace, we can be saved. And by his grace, we can receive the light of the gospel, whereby we can no longer be deceived and blinded by the knowledge of this world, by the knowledge that is full of pride in this world. Why am I saying this? Let's bring it to our time. When the brothers of David said to David, you do not know what you want here, because do you know this Goliath? You know what they meant? They were like a people in our time, even in the church world right now, as people who do research and have read all the Google things, you have Googled about Goliath, you've measured, you even can mention the weight of his spear, the weight of his sword, but you do not know the God of the armies of Israel, your very God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who brought your fathers hitherto, and for us, the God who brought us the Savior, Christ Jesus. We do not know him, but you have done the research about the Goliath. I can assure you, my beloved, I hear the call of the Spirit right now that it's time to arise and not waste your faith. Don't waste your faith. faith in order to know the enemy of this day. Don't waste your faith and study the Goliath of the day without studying the word of God. Don't you remember what the word says? Paul said to Timothy, study, 1 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. Don't study to show yourself how much you know about the Goliath of this world, how much of Google researches you have done, how much of website reading you have done. That will not help you against the 21st century Goliath of our time. These Goliaths are manifesting with the spirit of the pride of man in ruling. This is the spirit of religion and perversion. This is the spirit of deception are manifesting in our time. The spirits of lustful perversions are happening in our time. These are the 21st century Goliaths with which we have to contend. And we cannot contend by going to do some Google research. We need to know, like David, the God of the armies of Israel, and put our faith in the God of the armies of Israel. And when our faith is in the God of the armies of Israel, I can assure you, my friend, we will be able, with the smallest items ever, the faith the size of a mustard seed, like the stone that David had to pick up. That stone was like the faith the size of a mustard seed, and that faith was able to bring down a man whose size was like a mountain before the armies of Israel, and that mountain came crumbling down. I want to assure you that in the same way, my beloved, the mountain in your life, the mountains in my life that we face up to, they will come crumbling down as long as we are ready to lift up the ground of our faith and say, no, no, shall I waste my faith in trying to do the research about the circumstance, but I will lift up my faith, I will lift up my eyes to the God of the armies of Israel, the God of David, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I put my faith in him, I know that this mountain shall be removed and this giant shall fall down. It doesn't matter what the size of the giant is. What matters is the size of the God. It doesn't matter what the size of the spear of the giant is. What matters is the size of your faith, as little as a mustard seed. That faith is capacitated. It is empowered by God that it can bring the God of heaven down, and he becomes a majority with you. And as God is a majority with you, the Goliath of the 21st century will come crumbling down. What am I saying to you, my beloveds? I know there is a whole political stirring that is taking place throughout the world, from the United States of America to the Australians of the island. There is a shaking that is taking place, and I do believe that the faith paradigm is the connection into the final paradigm that will be God's place of eternal execution of heaven's ordinances in the earth, which is the fulfillment of Jesus's prayer when he said that the church and the disciples and those of us who follow him can pray this prayer, that let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I do believe in this final paradigm shift, there is a release of the eternity paradigm. How so now? Let's go back to the scripture. He says, fight the good fight of faith. And then he says, lay hold on eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is to know Jesus, to know God. That's eternal life. The Bible says in John chapter 17, Jesus praying, and he says, Father, this is my prayer, that you have given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as you have given unto me. And then in verse 3 of John 17, he says, and this is eternal life. What is this eternal life that our faith has to fight for? He says, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have saved. Listen, my brother, it means, my beloved, if your life is not having this content, it is not eternal. If the content of my life is not the focus and the steadfastness on knowing the true God and on knowing Jesus Christ, whom He sent, whom God sent, then my life will not amount to anything. My life will remain limited, and my life will not be eternal life. And that kind of life, whose focal point is not the true God, whose focal point is not knowing Jesus Christ, whom God sent, that kind of life is the life of a bad fight. You cannot fight the good fight of that kind of life. The good fight, what makes our fight of faith the good fight of faith? It is because it is the fight of knowing God, whom Jesus, who sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is the only true God, the one who sent Jesus Christ. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Yes, my beloved, this is the weight. This is the volume. This is the weightiness of the faith and the fight of faith that we are called to fight. He says, lay hold on eternal life. And then he says, whereunto thou art also called. So the question is, whatever you and I are fighting for has to be measured up unto this. Is it in pursuit of knowing the true God? Is it in pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ, whom God sent? Number three, if my fight is the good fight of faith, is it the fight for all that unto which I am called? Is it the fight to which or to the things unto which I am called? Because if you fight for the things you were not called for, your fight is a bad fight. Your fight is a losing fight, and your fight is a fight not worth fighting. And then he says, fight for this eternal life, because you are called unto eternal life. You are called unto it, which means it's not the life you claim, because you went, you found your way about it. No, is that life you claim because you responded to the call when he said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You responded to the call, and even as you responded to this call unto which you were called, you have been able to fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because you have understood that in this call, it is the provision of God, where he says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and this is how I love to present it, out of his curse-breaking love, God sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever channels the grace of God into their life and to the need of their life, they should access the eternity paradigm, the imperishable eternity paradigm, where nothing is perishing, where nothing can be terminated, which means everything that even intends to terminate your life. It might be a sickness, it might be an attack of the enemy physically, but God is saying, if you have eternal life is interminable, is the life that can never be terminated. And so he says, this is the eternal life unto which you are called. And then he says, and you have professed a good profession before many. The question might be, how will I and how have I professed a good profession before many people? This is what it is, my friend, when we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, you are God's creation or God's workmanship. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and it is what? Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And he says to Timothy here, Paul says to Timothy, you have professed a good profession before many. Listen, my beloved, if your profession, if your confession and your profession has to be of good unto good, it has to come from the place of knowing that I have faith in the Christ who has made me to be God's workmanship. Because I am in Christ, and in Christ I am God's workmanship. And he says, created in Christ unto good. I want you to connect this in the midst of the season that we are living in. The fight, the good fight of faith we are called to fight, it is unto the ultimate good that God has ordained for your life. It might be that right now the situation looks like it's bad. It cannot happen. I don't even have faith anymore. But I hear God saying to you, my beloved, no, it's because you do not know who you are and who he has meant for you to be. In Christ Jesus, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And he says, it is not just a purposeless creation. It is not just a creation for the sake of creation. He says, we are created unto good works, which means it doesn't matter how the situation is right now. You are appointed for good works. You are appointed to do good. You will do good. Where? In Christ Jesus. You will do good. Face every situation, whether it's in your work situation, whether it's in the attack of your physical body, face it as one who is in Christ Jesus. Whether it's in the nature of your relationship, face it as in Christ Jesus. Why? Because in him you are created unto good works. And let me tell you this, these good works are not necessarily anything that will make you compare yourself with anyone. But these good works are the good works which the world then says to you, he has ordained them that we should walk in them. He has ordained them that we should walk in them. He ordained them before, yes, before the devil said you are a failure, God has already ordained good works for you. Before the enemy said your situation is a disaster, God has ordained a good work for you, breakthrough for you. So what do I do, my friend? What do we do in this season? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Demand the eternity measure. Whatever you fight for, demand that it must lead me into the eternity paradigm, into the eternal status of everything that I go through. Must attain unto the eternity status. Don't fight for things that are perishing with this world. Don't fight for things that are just things for the sake of emotions. No, you are appointed unto good works, which were before ordained, even in Christ Jesus for you. So, my beloved, let's hold hands together in faith. Believe for the world. Believe for the nation of the United States of America. Believe for South Africa. Believe for the continent of Africa. Believe that the church kingdom will arise with you as a member. Arise to fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because you will yet do good. You are appointed unto good. Let's believe God as we will overcome the evil with the good. And God richly bless you as we keep holding out in faith together, for we are destined for glory, even in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.